Matter Radio Show, August 27, 2009, 4 p.m. Eastern, live from West Lafayette, Indiana. Have a very daring and risky show to present to you today. It is a subject that I'm going to cover, numerology and consciousness. Those two subjects are indistinguishable, largely, and cannot be covered separately. So therefore, we cover both. We're going to give it a shot to try to start covering the subject on this show today. This will be the first of many parts that we're going to cover on numerology and consciousness. This could be a 10 or 20 part series of shows here on the Antimatter Radio Show. So we'll start that shortly. Just want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, we had James Nienheist the last 2 weeks on the Antimatter Radio Show. If you go to antimatterradio.com, the website for this show, you will see several news articles. If you just hit the news link at the top of the site there, you'll see several news articles. There's some new ones up there about dinosaurs that were discovered by some researchers, and some researchers from Yale University did autopsies on them, found skin, organs, all sorts of things. So those are rather shocking discoveries, to say the least. So you can read, I've got very good news articles up there on antimatterradio.com for you to read when you'd like. As I just mentioned, the website for this radio show is antimatterradio.com, and then the backup website is telementation.com. Both of those sites, you can get full information on the show, listen to past shows, listen to other shows where I was a guest on through the years, through the archives of that radio, of antimatterradio.com. And telementation.com has information about what I consider the most important subject there is, which is telementation, which I've discussed on many past shows. It'll come up here and there on today's show due to the fact that telementation is largely indistinguishable from consciousness, as I say in my book, and therefore it will come up today in our discussion about numerology, a very difficult subject to discuss. My book, Telementation, is subtitled Cosmic Feeling and the Law of Attraction. And it basically, in a summary, is about an inner spiritual power that all of you have inside your consciousness and composing your consciousness, but which virtually none of you are aware of. That's because we live in what can be characterized as an egotistical culture. What that simply means is ego consciousness is a certain type of consciousness that many philosophers and psychologists, psychiatrists, and shamans through the years have discussed as being a very low-level type of consciousness, one where you believe that material reality is real and is the only reality that there is. If there's a heaven, it's just basically another kind of material reality. It looks a little bit like this, except there's less pain and suffering, for example, and it's in the sky or somewhere in some realm close by. And the egotistical consciousness is plagued by desires. It is characterized by fear and desire. Those are its trademarks, and since the fear and desire are, at their essence, states of suffering, therefore the egotistical consciousness is a consciousness that is in a state of suffering, as many Buddhist philosophers have said for thousands of years. Therefore, our culture consists of people who are existing at their core in a state of suffering, whether they know it or not. Okay, so telementation is about a higher state of consciousness, the state of consciousness that you actually are, the egotistical state of consciousness, just a shell, a covering over your real consciousness. Your real consciousness is called telementation, and it consists of spiritual power. It's very difficult for any of you to believe that this is real if you have never witnessed, experienced this within you and composing what you are. And I understand if you want to just wave your hand at this discussion. I would too if I were you. And I would just leave it at that for you. But for the rest of you who have an idea of what I'm talking about, you have to witness telementation. Witness what you are. See this within you to understand what I'm talking about. When you start to get a taste for this spiritual ecstasy that is inside you and that is you. It becomes an addiction. It becomes an obsession. Not a negative addiction. I use that because I don't know of any other word to use right now. Addiction has a negative connotation in our culture, but there can be such things as positive addictions. What if there was something that you could be addicted to, and that something made you filled with love? The more you fulfilled your addiction, the more love you were filled with. The more you knew how to love your children and your family, and the more you knew how to exhibit kindness towards others, the more intelligent it made you, the more you indulged in this addiction. The more money and wealth it gave you. Well, this would be a wonderful addiction. That's exactly what religious experience is. That's exactly what telementation is. You at your core are a spiritual entity, and to taste that, to feel that, is a happiness few of you understand, I'm sad to say, because we live in a de-spiritualized culture, world. Few of you understand what I'm saying for that reason. But we all must strive through meditation, through religious practices, through shamanic techniques to get to these religious highs, these religious heights, because for reasons which I don't have time to explain right now, but which have come on in past shows and will come on future shows, our lives depend on this. We're going into a global shift, a shift in the world culture from what can be kind of considered a feudal state, a capitalist state of world economics, which has existed for the last 1,000 years, into what appears to be what could be considered a local farming global culture. If that means worldwide, the culture will be dominated by local farming. I don't know how long this will last. My guess is for at least 1,000 years. It's hard for many of you to believe that that's true, because probably most of you listening to this show, I'm sad to say, are getting, even if you're trying not to, you're still getting your information from the television, which is telling you all sorts of things, such as that everything's great and we don't need to worry about much. We're in economic recovery and things are wonderful. You can believe that if you want, but for reasons I've said on just recent shows, on the Antimatter Radio show, that is, of course, not true. That's the exact same thing that the corporate elite pull every time. We go into an economic collapse, and they tell you that you're not going into an economic collapse. You go into recession or economic crisis, and they tell you that you're not. They tell you to buy stocks and dump all your money as things go into the toilet. So we'll discuss these issues more on future shows. But it's very important for us to realize that things are going to get so, let's say, things are going to transform so much that many of us are going to feel helpless. Many of us are not going to know what to do. That's the case now. As we discussed on past shows, worldwide, poverty, slavery, starvation, crime, gang warfare are just rampant everywhere. All over the place. They're, of course, here in America. But there are whole continents, like Africa, which is just utterly rampant. There could be phases of that where that infects the entire world in the, you know, within the next decade or so. So we're gonna, there could be, times that we never thought would, enter America. So, if things get that dark for us, our protection will not be how much stored food we have. Our protection will not be how good of farmers we've become. Our protection will not be how many firearms we've stored up in our closet. Our protection will not be going to church and having the ministers tell us some happy story. Our protection only will be to use our spiritual powers that exist within us, but which few of you know exist. When people tell you that spiritual powers, the spiritual plane is beyond the material, and things that are impossible in the material domain can be done in the spiritual domain, they're telling you the truth. That's exactly what we're talking about. The essence of reality is not matter. As we've discussed in this show is called the Anti-Matter Radio Show. That's because we're against materialism. Because actual reality is not matter. Actual reality is made of spiritual light. It's everywhere. It composes you. It's in everything. It is everything. From in every direction you can point your finger to, as far as you can point. That's what reality is. Another word for reality is ecstasy or bliss. Unfortunately, in the egotistical culture that we live in, people do not understand that, and they think that reality is defined as things such as hardship or toil or work and labor or television and entertainment. These are not actual reality. These are coverings. These are a dream of what you think reality is, but where the dream is not real. When you wake up in the morning from a dream, you know, ah, that wasn't real. I thought it was real while I was in the dream, but the dream, in fact, was a film screen, an illusion. That's what Americans, and that's what, in general, the people worldwide are living under, a dream. The materialist paradigm is not real. Quantum physics has proven this. Religious experience verifies this directly for us. And getting outside of the materialist paradigm is true happiness. All people listening to this radio show need to understand that when you're sitting on your couch watching television and you think you feel content, happy, and relaxed, that is nothing compared to the joy that religious experience, religious freedom gives, spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is an experience. It is not a belief. It is not faith. It is not hope. It's not an idea. It is doing the work of certain spiritual technologies, shamanic technologies, or what are called meditation, to get to a certain state, to blast off this fear and desire state called the egotistical state in order to feel yourself, to feel what you really are deep inside. True reality is composed of feeling. My mentor in graduate school, when I was a philosophy student getting my master's degree, was Quentin Smith, and he wrote a book, his first book he wrote, called The Felt Meanings of the World. And he was onto this this notion that reality is composed of feeling. The little quantum particles that exist, the little pieces of irreducible energy that compose our reality. Ultimately, what those are little chunks of feeling states, okay? This is very important for us to understand in order to get out of our current ideas, which bring us nothing but desperation, ignorance, war. If you've watched the town hall, these wonderful town hall meeting videos that are all over YouTube, where people are finally starting to rebel against this tyranny that we've been living under, this political tyranny in America, a tyranny that's disguised as democracy. You know, they call it free, but you're forced to pay taxes. You're forced to work under minimum wage conditions, which is a joke, $5 an hour. They call this freedom. Call it the best country in the world. Maybe America is the best country in the world, but that needs improvement now. Okay, it's called slavery. Okay, we all need to use what we are, which is spiritual consciousness, to change the world. The world is going through massive shifts right now. It's started, and it's going to do so over the next decade. It's a global shift for many reasons. Anything from the Mayan calendar to numerology to corporate elites to the way resources flow through the world and so forth. Many reasons are in place for why I can make this claim and why I can say that I'm paying attention to world trends, and I can see that this shift is in place. Many others, of course, are aware of this as well, as you know. So we need to use our innateness, our spiritual subjectivity, to create the best possible world for ourselves. The only way to do that, in my opinion, is by using a technique called telementation. That's exactly why I wrote a book called Telementation. The book just simply describes the meditation technique. You can buy the book for $9 on Amazon.com. You can go to telementation.com to listen to radio show information about the meditation technique called telementation and learn the spiritual practice. That book is my gift to the world. It's everything I've got, and it is everything in itself, so it's a big gift. And it's the product of 20 years of research trying to figure out what is important, what do we need to understand as human beings, what is the nature of things. And that simple little 100-and-some-page book So a little meditation guidebook is the answer, according to what I could have been able to discover. To me, that book is everything. With that book, you will know everything. If you practice the exercises in that book, without that book, and without the techniques described in that book, you will live according to the egotistical consciousness that you inevitably fall into in this culture, and therefore you will have nothing. So a couple more details about this show. Next week, we are scheduled to have Dr. Bill Deagle as a guest on the show. That's a big guest for the show, and you definitely want to not miss that. We're going to discuss four subject areas with him, the time we have him for. We're going to discuss alternative medicine, and I assure you, you will get the best imaginable information on that show. The reason we're having him on this show is because I've known Dr. Bill Deagle for a long time, because I started following him in his research and his work and his radio and his writings years ago, because I knew that he was a special researcher, a special thinker, a special person that has a lot of important things to say. And that is definitely true, and that's why we're having him on this show. He is, as far as alternative medicine goes, I really don't know of a whole lot of people that are better than him. There may be some equals, but nobody's better than him in that subject area. And I know quite a bit about alternative medicine, holistic medicine, nutrition myself. So that will be quite a discussion. We're also going to discuss extraterrestrials in great detail on that show. We're going to discuss what I can phrase as alternative spirituality with him next week, because he's got quite a few of very well thought out ideas on spirituality, which he's going to share with you, and which will be quite amazing. And also, we're going to discuss the topic of smallest consideration on next week's show with Dr. Bill Deagle. We'll talk about the New World Order as well, and how to survive through these great changes that are coming. So you definitely do not want to miss Dr. Bill Deagle on the Antimatter Radio Show next Thursday, September 3, 4 p.m. Eastern. You can go to antimatterradio.com between now and the next show and look for a special announcement page that I will have put up discussing what the show will be about and what the show will involve. Okay, so now what I would like to do is slow down and discuss this extremely difficult subject called numerology. Okay, the reason this is such a difficult subject is because virtually nobody in the big picture knows what numerology is, knows that it works, and so forth. Now, a lot of people know what numerology is. They know it's some ridiculous little gimmick. But that's not really knowing what numerology is, okay? Numerology is a science in the truest sense. And what we've been taught in our culture in America is to believe that numerology is something for crackpots or something, or it's fake and not real. Now, let me just define what it is, and I've got a whole lot more to say about this little introductory note here in just a second. What numerology is, according to my definition, is the numbers in your life determining the character of your life. For example, if you were born on a certain day, those numbers add up to a certain number, and that number describes who and what you are. I know it's very difficult for people to understand that this is real, but all you need to do is simply pick up a book. For example, you can pick up the book called Numerology by Harish Johari, J-O-H-A-R-I is the last name. Or there's another book, I've forgotten the author's name, I don't have it right in front of me, it's called Chinese Numerology. It's a sort of workbook. All you need to do is just pick up one of those books, read through it, and you will see what I'm talking about. It's real. You've been taught to think this is a joke, this little gimmick, like astrology or something that you read about in the back of your newspaper. But there's a reason you've all been taught that it's just a joke, okay? To keep you from exploring it, to keep you focused on all these fake sciences like psychology or something. Yeah, but I'll talk more about that in just a second. So, for some reason, which I'm going to explore here in a few minutes, the numbers of our life determine our life and have great influence over our life. And all of you have a difficult time understanding that this is the case because you've been taught that reality is governed by other things, such as cause and effect. For example, I have a certain personality now in my life because when I was 3 years old, my parents treated me a certain way, so therefore that's created my personality. Or I have a certain personality because I came from, you know, a down-and-out family in southern Alabama. That's why I have the personality I do. Or I have a certain temperament because of other things that happened when I was young. Guess what? That's what people often say to me. I hear people often saying, my personality is created because of things that happened to me when I was young. I say, oh, that's nice. And guess what that is, I say to them. That's called a theory. Now, if you listen to past editions of the Antimatter Radio Show, we're not too friendly towards theories on the Antimatter Radio Show. We're not saying, you know, to get rid of them or something. That would be impossible. We all have theories. But what we like on the Antimatter Radio Show is experience. Okay? I can experience in front of me there is a pen. Okay? It's right here. See? Therefore, I know that a pen exists, or something pen-like is there in front of me, all right? And there's not a whole lot of debate that I'm going to get into with people about it because I have experience of it. I don't need to have faith that it's there. I don't need to believe that it's there. I just see it and know it, okay? That's not theoretical. That's not a theory. That's an experience. That's how we like to do things on the Antimatter Radio Show. Why? Because that is where real knowledge comes from. Experiential knowledge is how you really learn things, how you really know things. I didn't say empirical knowledge. I didn't say scientific knowledge. I said experiential knowledge. What you experience is what you know to be possibly real. It doesn't mean everything you experience is real, like the mirage on the street on a hot day. Or, you know, if you look at a clock, the clock hands often appear to be still, but they're really moving. Okay, so sometimes you experience things that are not real, like still clock hands. That's not real because they're moving clock hands. Or the mirage in the street in the middle of summer on the hot road. That is not real. Okay, that's an illusion. Okay, now I didn't say empirical experience and scientific experience, and here's why I comment on that. Because lately I have stopped using the word science. I've been, through the years, I've often said, you know, the scientific paradigm is blah, blah, blah. Or we need to have scientific pursuits, and we need to have a scientific attitude. But I'm starting to realize that that doesn't really do me any good, because what everybody associates, science means one thing in the classical sense, you know, of John Locke and Descartes and all these people that invented science, Francis Bacon, way back when. They meant a certain thing by science. But that isn't really what the average person in American culture means anymore today. What the average person in American culture means today by science is what they see on television. And what they see on television, or what they see in their universities. And that is corporate research. Okay? In other words, a university has a whole army of science people conducting science. But they're all doing so for pay, and the pay comes from sources which are always the corporate elite in the end, one way or another, whether it's through the National Science Foundation or some corporation or whatnot. And usually the research is somehow associated with big military, big pharma, big agri, and so forth. So what people, in the end, what people usually refer to as science is just the research that the New World Order is having humans carry out. Okay, so lately I've been not using the word science, I've been using the word experiential. I can sit and do meditation in my closet for 8 hours, if I were to, for example. And I may see a vision of, let's just say I saw a vision of a spirit, or a vision of an alien, or something like that. And I may say, it was so real to me, I don't care if you say I was hallucinating, I know what I saw. And I, when I look at a tree outside my window here, it was, the alien or the spirit was more real in my experience than the tree. And so therefore I believe it was real. So therefore, on this account, I can have experience of a tree, and I can have experience of the alien or the spirit, but modern science will only accept one of the two, the tree, even though I've had experience of the two. Now, I know the two would be real since I experienced both, or they both have the same realness to my consciousness. So why wouldn't I study both if I was a true?
Don't miss the book Corporatism, which has been featured on the Alex Jones Show and which covers everything about the real force of social control called the New World Order. This group exists. It controls all the governments of the world, and it hides within international organizations like the IMF, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, the World Bank, and others, all of which are not loyal to any one country, but are devoted to controlling and merging all of them through war and economics. Find out how they control the world through false flag terrorism, inflation economics, the business cycle, and through food contamination, war, vaccinations, television, and public education. You can find this book at Amazon.com or at antimatterradio.com.
Welcome back. Sorry about that. We had a brief interruption, but let's get going. Now, let me get off of the sidetrack that I was on and get right to discussion of numerology then. A couple more things about that introduction that I was talking about with numerology. Humans in America can be basically taught to believe anything, I'm sad to say, through the television. For example, we were all taught in 2003 to believe that the nation of Iraq was some sort of a threat. They had weapons of mass destruction pointed towards us. And so Americans by the thousands sent their children off to fight this invisible enemy, which of course was all, there was all just a lie. It was all just a joke. It was all just a dream. None of it was real. The point here is that through mass media, Americans were able to be taught, brainwashed, to believe that a false reality was the true reality. They were able to be taught that something not real was real. Okay? So, this is very, very important. Pay close attention to the example I just gave you. It's very profound, and it gives you a huge lesson on the overall picture of reality and the world you're living on and who you are and what shaped you and the people around you and what people believe and don't believe, okay? Because numerology falls in the exact same camp, all right? We've been taught in various ways that numerology either isn't real or is just a pathetic little joke. We've been taught this because, first of all, we're not taught it. It's not taught in the schools. It's not covered on the television. So therefore, since it's ignored in such ways, people just start to associate it as being something meaningless. Because, oh, if it was important, our universities would research it. Oh, if it was so important, our television would talk about it on, you know, Discovery Channel or something. See how that works? So if you don't cover something on television or in the universities or in the churches, people may naturally start to think that it just isn't real. Okay, so there's a lot of issues on this show that fall into that camp that are just simply not discussed in the big media streams of various sorts and the big informational streams in America. And so therefore, people just won't pay attention to them. That doesn't mean they're not real. Where people, you know, think of quantum physics that got going in the 1920s. Okay, and it uncovered a whole world that we previously here in America didn't know was real. At least the status quo didn't know was real. Status quo academics especially. So that means that before that, if you would have gone and told the average academic, say in 1890, that actually reality is composed of tiny pieces of energy that flash in and out of existence, and they have zero size, and are composed of pure energy, and they are timeless. The average person in America probably would have thought you were, I don't know, crazy or something, just because they've never heard anything about that before. So people will assume if they've never heard about it, if they've never seen it on in their media streams, in their schools, it's not real. So before quantum physics, people may have made the same error. Then it was discovered, so therefore people started to realize that this is something real. So the point is here is just because groups of people don't think something is real doesn't mean it's not. Okay? The average state of humans in America and the world is to be ignorant. I'm sorry to say. I know people get so angry when I say that. I say, oh, how can you say that? Oh, you know everything, huh? No, I didn't say that. It's just obvious that people in the world are not too bright in the current state that they're in. They don't read. They just work at jobs all day. They go to schools that are pretty bad. Their TVs usually have no information or just wrong information, like the example of weapons of mass destruction I just gave. So how could people be intelligent then? They can't. They're not doing anything to make themselves intelligent, not doing any work to make themselves intelligent, so they can't be intelligent. Okay? So if I make that comment to say that people of the world are rather ignorant, it just seems to be a fact. Okay? If you want smarts, you have to do some meditation, you have to do some reading, you have to get it. Okay? It just doesn't come to you. So numerology is a study. See, another thing that's interesting here is the following. Now, many of you are familiar from this show or shows like Alex Jones, and there's some pretty good shows like Pat Corey's show on this network and Len Horowitz on BBS, shows which discuss the New World Order. And the New World Order, for those of you who don't know, 10-second description, is there's a secret group of financial elites that control the governments of the world. Okay, so there's behind all the governments of the world is a single secretive government. And it's somehow associated with the you can kind of trace its real existence because, for example, the United Nations gets orders from somewhere. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, exists, and it controls the nations of the world. If you follow the news on the IMF, it's always giving Barack Obama and the U.S. government orders, and they follow along. They do what they say. Why? Didn't we elect them in office? Well, of course, that's a joke to think that us electing them in office means anything. I mean, I thought, wasn't Obama going to end NAFTA? Wasn't he going to end the wars? I mean, is anybody even talking about that anymore? So it's just obviously a complete joke. The whole Barack Obama thing was just a dream. I was not fooled. A lot of people around me in my city thought he was going to be a glimmer of hope. Change. But anyways, the point I'm trying to get at here can be stated, well, let me discuss the New World Order just for a second longer. The New World Order is another one of these things that you haven't been told about on TV, you haven't been told about in school, you haven't been told about in church, so you tend to believe it's not real. So if you go up to the average person and say, yes, there's a secret government, financial power that controls everything, that controls the governments of the world, that controls the big corporations, that controls money, so therefore, if it controls money, the money of the world, therefore it controls mass media, it controls religion, it controls governments, it controls militaries, it controls everything, since money is the controller of the world. The average person will say, oh, that's crazy. But see, they will not have looked into the issue. They'll just immediately knee-jerk say, oh, no, it's not real. Just, why do they do that? Well, I've already told you the answer why they do that. Because they simply haven't been told about it. They don't know about it. So therefore, they assume it's not real. If I don't see something, it's not real. Okay? If I don't, you know, but if you go, you need to go look into things, you know, to find out. If somebody makes a claim, you can't say, no, it's false. You have to first find out if it's false or not before you make that claim. Okay? Because the evidence for the New World Order is just simple, straightforward, and real. You know, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank. There's all these organizations, the CIA, which act all in unison with each other, and they all control governments. So whoever is behind this group and whoever is the financial power here, controlling the money, controlling, you know, who does Ben Bernanke take orders from? It's not Barack Obama. Give me a break, okay? Alex Jones had Alan Greenspan on his site talking about how the Federal Reserve does not take orders from the U.S. government is beyond the laws of the land of the United States. Okay, Alex Jones had Greenspan saying that. He's got it in his movie coming up, and I think it might have been in his last movie also. So that's a joke. So, you know, you have to ask these questions. Who does Bernanke take orders from? Who does the IMF take their orders from? Who does the World Trade Organization? Why do these groups all work together? The answer is the New World Order. Okay, so this group is there. It's real. And the average person is just taught that, oh, the real financial powers of the world are, you know, Obama. yeah, right. I'm not even going to discuss that anymore. So here's the deal. It has always been the case that information has been controlled by this world government, this New World Order. The New World Order has existed for thousands of years. Okay? It goes way back to Sumeria. And the Tower of Babylon was associated with it and so forth. That's all written about in my book, Corporatism, to some degree. So what they do with information is they control it. So therefore, they make it the case that some topics are acceptable, and then unacceptable topics they will put on television, they will have people castigate them, mock them. Okay, so if there's a topic that the New World Order does not want people to pay attention to, they will either not allow it on their media streams on television or in movies and whatnot, or they will mock it. So, for example, the big thing now is to say that the town hall people are just, that protesters are just crazy. Okay? Or in the past it's been fashionable for them to say that anybody who thinks 9/11 was not done by Al-Qaeda is just a crazy person. Okay, no evidence is given, no nothing. They just say, that's it, just period. Al-Qaeda did it, and if you don't believe it, you're crazy. Okay, now no evidence was ever given for Al-Qaeda doing it. In fact, there's utterly massive amounts of evidence that they don't even exist. That's in my book, Corporatism 2, Chapter 4, and Chapter 1. So, the point here is, well, I keep saying that, so let me get to the point, say what it is. Here's the point. What is real, you are taught is not real. And what is not real, you are taught is real. So, for example, if there's a science and a mathematics called numerology, you will be taught in various ways that I've already explained so far today, on television, in schools, and in church, that it's not real. And if there's a fake science, say Darwinism, well, natural selection is a real phenomenon, but the idea that, you know, all the other Darwinian ideas are, as we talked about in the past shows, are not scientific and don't have any evidence for them. You will, however, instead be told that those ideas are real. Just turn on the Discovery Channel tonight, and they'll start talking about global warming and how humans are destroying the Earth and how Darwinism is real and you came from chimpanzees and the cells, you know, just spontaneously created, you know, back 4 million years ago or whatever, or sorry, 4 billion years ago on planet Earth, to lead to the evolution of humans. You'd be taught all these things, but if you just go look for the evidence, there's none. These are all theories, they're not evidential theories, not scientific theories. They're just wild philosophies. But you will be taught in school and everywhere that they're real. When I was still teaching college at Purdue University, if I questioned things like global warming and evolution, the traditional kind of evolution, there's variations, but the standard Darwinian monkeys to man thesis, if I questioned the Big Bang, if I questioned all these things, even if I had scientific articles I was holding up in front of the class from journals like Nature and Science and Journal of the Associated, or JAMA it's called, American Medical Association, you know, et cetera, it wouldn't matter. There would be always a certain group of students that would complain, go to the administration, and the administration would call me in and say, why are you discussing these topics? And I would say, well, it's just we want to cover all sides of things, and we want to cover the pro and the con, and we want to give evidence for both sides so the students can make up their mind. The administration would not go for it. They would say, don't discuss these things. And sometimes I would get students so upset with me because I would claim a thesis in the class. Let me just think of a specific example. One time I claimed in class that the more guns citizens have, private citizens have in a culture, the less crime there'll be. And I had so much documentation to support that. We're talking books published by the University of Chicago Press, written by John Lott, articles, everything you could imagine. There was some students that became so upset that they realized they couldn't really complain to the administration on any true account because there was so much evidence I was presented. I was so well prepared for making that case that nobody really could do anything. It was just so airtight and rock solid. Not saying there was absolute truth I'd proven here. It's just that I'd really done my job as a professional academic and really presented things very nicely and professionally. So what students would do, amazingly, is they would go to the administration, they would make stuff up because they would be so furious that somebody threatened some belief system, which makes sense. I mean, everybody gets threatened by that. I understand that's reasonable. But I would get this frequently. Students would just make things up because they didn't have a real case against me, but they were so mad, so they would present a fake case against me. At first, I thought it was just an accident, the first few times this happened. But it happened so many times that I started to realize that, well, they don't have any dirt on me, so they were creating dirt. This is what people often do. Let me give you an example. This is a funny one. One of my last classes I taught was at the branch campus, Purdue North Central, up in Westville. It's a beautiful place, wonderful students. And really nice people up there. I recommend any of you to go to school there if you're in the area, I guess. Make sure you get good professors and really shop around first, to say the least. I was teaching Eastern religions there. It was really, that class went well. And it was a big class, big auditorium, and we were really hit it hard every day and really powerful information. And one day, we got on a sidetrack for about 3 minutes on a political issue. And I, because it kind of had to do with the lecture material, and it was just a quick political issue we went into. And I showed students on a computer evidence for this political issue. And I said, you won't see, here's the evidence, this is the case for this issue, call it issue A, but the mass media will not cover it. Instead, they'll talk about things, all this other extraneous information, all this meaningless stuff that isn't really news. And what I said was, I gave an example, as I said, because at that specific time, the mass media was going through a week of talking about the gay marriage debate. I think this was like last November. Because if you notice, the media gets on little kicks. They'll talk 1 week, it's all about Michael Jackson for 2 weeks, and then next week it's all about Ted Kennedy, and the next week it's all about Farrah Fawcett, and the next week it's all about global warming, and the next week it's all about polar bears and how they're supposedly dying. They go in little fads. I mean, they'll ignore all these huge, incredible issues, which I could bring up right now, and they'll instead all the mass media in unison will talk about single issues, which is very curious, as I discussed that in great detail in my book, Corporatism. But anyway, what I said was, on this gay marriage debate, as I said, on this issue A that I just referred to, political issue A, I said, so this issue is, I think it had to do with bank collapses or something, and how you could predict bank collapses beforehand, but the media wouldn't discuss it. But it was real rock-solid information, definitely, to say the least, newsworthy, front page of the paper kind of thing. So what I said was, the mass media won't cover this. All they will do is cover, things like gay marriage. And here's exactly what I said. I said, gay marriage is an important issue. And, of course, if we're a free society, people should be just allowed to do what they want. It may offend people that gay people get married, but hey, if we're a free society, we have to be able to be free and do what we want. And I said, but the point is that's not a in that sense that I just gave, it's not a newsworthy issue. It's just a superfluous issue, which is wasting our time from the real big issues, which are, things like bank collapses and genetically modified food and the secret government, which is, poisoning us with medicine and vaccines. I mean, those are the big issues that affect everybody. Gay marriage just affects a few people. So it's definitely not as newsworthy as other things. That's what I said. So I had a student go to the administration and say that I was a gay basher, and they made up a fake story, like fake words and everything that I said about how I was a gay basher. So it was just, amazing. But anyways, this is way off topic, but nevertheless, very interesting issue. Explore how people act and the sort of the state we're in as a society when you get these silly games going on. what you have basically in society is people fighting over theories. You can get people fighting over, you know, God versus Darwinism. But if you look closely, both of the people are just arguing about a bunch of theories. You know, one of the theories may be right, but the people won't be arguing from an experiential and evidential, verifiable perspective. They'll be arguing from, for example, a theoretical base, which is nothing. Okay, here, I've got a theory. You ready for a theory? I think that Mickey Mouse created the universe. There, how do you like that theory? Okay, how much does that mean? It means nothing. Why? Because there's no evidence for it. Okay, so here I got another theory for you. How do you like this one? Humans are destroying the Earth because they've driven their cars too much and are putting too much carbon in the air. There, how do you like that? You like that? Well, that's about the same level of ridiculous theory because there's no evidence for that one either. In fact, there's evidence that all the carbon in the atmosphere is good. It helps plants grow faster, and therefore more plants growing faster, there's a greener Earth, and a greener Earth means more oxygen. Rates of oxygen should be increasing. Well, they may not because the Amazon rainforest is being cut down, but it helps produce oxygen, so it's actually quite good. And you can actually go to sciencemag.com, the most prestigious science journal in the world, and just look up CO2. Or CO2 levels, or CO2 global warming, or something like that. And you'll see all kinds of articles by the best scientific researchers from universities all over the world who, I mean, that's the thesis I just made. That's where I got it from, because they make the same thesis that actually all the carbon in the atmosphere that we put over the last 60 years in America and the rest of the world is actually quite good. It's helped us out in a lot of ways. So, but of course, if you're in the theoretical domain, you won't believe that. So anyway, summary of what I'm saying here is, in America and the world, we are taught that true reality is fake and false reality is real. And this is really true for anything. I mean, people don't understand how serious this is. You think I'm kidding around. And, oh, no, it can't be. You're probably thinking they're saying, sitting there thinking I'm being extreme, saying, oh, not everything. You know, it can't be everything's that. I mean, he's just being extreme. No, I'm not. It's real. And let me give you some examples to show you how serious this is. Here, listen to this. I'm going to tap on my desk. It's a wood desk. Ready? Listen. Okay? Why did I do that? Because the desk seems solid to me. Okay, I'm feeling it right now. It seems hard. It seems to have a surface. And it's a brownish color, the color of wood. So what is my experience of this desk? It's brown, solid, and hard. Okay? And we're all taught that this is real. Our science classes in our universities will teach us that's it, that's what we know about reality, and therefore we just study these solid things in the world, like, you know, wood and whatever, metals and all this kind of stuff. Study all the solid entities, and, you know, sometimes they turn into liquids or gases, and that's how we know what's real. But guess what? There is no such thing as a solid entity. That's the whole point of this radio show, the anti-matter radio show. The definition of a material thing is a solid entity that exists through time and has a surface or a magnitude, or, you know, like a size, a width and height and depth and all that, a volume. Okay? They don't exist. Why? Simple. We've said it before in a past show, so I'll say it real quickly now. Because if you rip apart that thing and reduce it down to its primary elements, which are called, you can call them quantum atoms, that's what I usually call them, but people usually refer to them as electrons and protons and neutrons and quarks and muons and neutrinos and all, you know, zillion different little particles that they've discovered. They're all pretty basically indistinguishable from each other, but some of them have a little bit of different behaviors, different trajectories. Little different ways of their short motion that they exhibit, so they've been given different names by their different motions. They could all just be one kind of particle, which is exactly what I've argued in some academic work that I've done, published. Here's the point. The point is these little quantum particles don't have size, and therefore they don't have a surface, and therefore they don't have magnitude, they don't have a color, they don't have hardness or solidity. So if everything, if all this hard, solid material things we see in front of us are composed of things that have no hardness, no size, no solidity, nothing, that means that you can't add up these little quantum particles that have no surface. You can't add a bunch of them together to get a surface. That's like saying 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 equals 1. You can't do that. Okay, so in the end, we have no way to explain our material experience of the world. That is also called, as I referred to earlier in the show, that is called the egotistical consciousness. The egotistical consciousness is the material consciousness. Okay, it's the one that believes the material world is real. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, your best friend doesn't exist or something, or that this pen, here it is again, doesn't exist. It just means that you don't know exactly what those are from the material perspective. The material perspective is wrong, so therefore you need to come up with a better explanation. There are patterns of energy. What I used to say in my classes when I was still teaching college is I would say the pen is a pattern of energy. Your best friend is a set of conscious states existing in and around a body, which where the body composed of flesh, meat, you know, meat and bone, is a set of patterns of energy. Okay, that's very vague purposely because I don't have time to explain exactly what I mean by that right now. But here the point is we are not taught this anywhere. Where it comes up here and there, you know, in vague descriptions on the Discovery Channel, or if you're in specific, real select university classes, like a introductory physics class, they may bring it up once the whole year. Or if you're in a quantum physics class in college, it may come up a couple times. It won't come up in church. It won't come up on TV really, except maybe a passing 5-second mention on the Discovery Channel once every month. So in other words, it's not discussed. But it is utterly rock solid science that's been around since the 1920s. Okay, and it proves, it's called quantum physics, it proves that our experiences of the solid, these solids in the material world are a dream. We are, when I see the pen, it is not, the pen isn't really how I see it, it's something else. Okay, it's kind of like in The Matrix, when Neo, the movie The Matrix, all of you should see if you haven't seen it. Those are incredible movies, a lot of correlation between those films and this show. What Neo would do, the hero of the film, is he would have these religious experiences where all of a sudden everything he saw in the material world all of a sudden wouldn't be matter anymore. It would be flashing lights composed of little numbers and code and so forth. Now that actually has to do with numerology, which is what we're supposed to be talking about. But, I mean, you have to give a long introduction to a subject like this. This will probably, this is the numerology and consciousness show part one. And we'll get as far into it as we can, but this is going to take us a long time to discuss all these issues because we have to be very careful, very thorough, and this is going to be worth something. This is going to be valuable, this show, and we lay all this out. There's going to be a lot of powerful information. I'm putting everything into this. I mean, I want to, we're studying this because I want to know. You're listening because you want to know, and I'm broadcasting this because I want to know. Okay? I mean, yeah. So, what we're talking about is how what you're taught in your culture as being real is actually not real. And we just gave the example that the most everyday experience of matter and solids, what you're taught is real and everybody agrees it's real, is actually not real. And everybody agrees on it, that doesn't mean it's right. Okay? That just means that everybody agrees on the illusion. Just like those weapons of mass destruction in Iraq in 2003, everybody agreed it was an illusion. From 1992, or, sorry, 91, all the way through 2004, the mass media told us about, ooh, spooky Iraq. And there was not a single bit of evidence ever presented. It was all just theory, like, oh, we think they're bad, and they're scary and mean, and they would so show Saddam Hussein with some troops around him. And people believed it. People believed the lie. Everybody agreed on it. So the lie became reality. That's what matter is. That's what everything is. If you're taught, so, I mean, you get a lesson, there's a lesson to be taught here. And this is very powerful. The lesson is as follows. If something is presented to you in church, if something is presented to you on television, if something is presented to you in school, and it's a paradigm and viewpoint strongly pushed, you can know by what we're saying on this show that it's wrong, that actually the opposite picture is true for all the reasons I've given so far on the first 56 minutes of this show so far today. Okay? So this is very powerful information. There's a researcher named Cliff High, which probably a lot of you have heard of. His website is halfpasthuman.com. I think he's been on as a guest on BBS a number of times on other shows. He calls it the officially denied category. He says, don't believe anything until it's officially denied. I think there's also a researcher named Jerry E. Smith, who I first learned that. He wrote a book called Weather Warfare. I think he's the first one I ever heard that quote from. I think Jordan Maxwell, a lot of people use it. It's a well-known quote. Don't believe anything until it's denied by the government, until it's denied in the mass media, until it's denied in the status quo. Okay? So it's very powerful information, and you can verify it. Look how what we just talked about with matter and solids, the most everyday common experience you can have, we've just shown is not real. Now, some of you might say, well, how do we know that our experience of matter and solids isn't real and the quantum physics is wrong? You know, one of them is wrong and one of them is right. If they have quantum physics, the study of the little teeny sizeless point particles of energy that compose everything, there's one viewpoint, and then another viewpoint is our experience of matter and solids. And those two contradict each other, so only one can be right. So some of you might want to say, well, why can't quantum physics be wrong and the experience of matter be right? Rather than what I'm saying is vice versa. Is quantum physics is right and the experience of matter is wrong? And the answer to that is there's two answers. It's very simple. The first one is religious experience shows you that quantum perspective is right and the material perspective is wrong. But a better explanation is the second one. It goes as follows. The material experience is always wrong. And you can logically show that it is. For example, think of all the errors of perception that you make every day. If I shoot go to the shooting range, as I do very often, and shoot, say I'm shooting my 50 caliber, pistol. When I shoot the bullet, I don't see it travel from the gun to the target. I mean, if I shoot my bow and arrow in the backyard, I can vaguely see it travel, especially if I'm shooting it from 100 yards or something. I can vaguely see the arrow is really moving, so I have to really watch because it's moving. But I can see it go from point A to point B. With the bullet, I can't. The bullet, what does that mean? The bullet turns invisible to my perspective. Okay? Now, the bullet didn't really turn invisible. It just appears to me because my senses can't pick it up. Now, this is very powerful information because this shows such a common everyday experience of something moving from point A to point B is not perceptible by you and therefore seems to not exist from your perspective. Now, some of you might say, well, the bullet's moving pretty fast. It's a pretty extreme situation. No, it's not. The bullet's it's slow. Here's something that's moving fast, the Earth. What's the Earth going, 5 miles a second around the sun? I mean, that's really moving. The bullet's only going, if you have a really fast bullet, like from an AR-15, which goes about 3,200 feet per second, it's going about three-quarters of a mile per hour, where the Earth goes 5 miles per hour. So the bullet is slow compared to the speed of the Earth, which is going about 8 times faster than a bullet. So the point here is that the bullet turned invisible. Okay, the clock hands we referred to earlier, the clock hands appear still, but they're not still. Okay, so the oasis I referred to, matter, well, that's another one, that's one we started with that we're trying to reinforce that idea. If you look at a solid piece of white paper, here's another example. It looks smooth and white, and you feel it, and it's like, oh, it's very smooth, very white. Get a magnifying glass out. You don't even have to have a very powerful magnifying glass, and look at the paper, what it really looks like, and you'll see it's, when you look at it up close, and look at its little wood fibers that it's composed of, it is not smooth, it's not all white, and it's composed of big chunks of wood fibers all smashed together, and it's incredible chaos. There's another illusion. So you see a pattern going here? The pattern, the idea is that our senses produce error over and over and over and over and over and over. Everywhere we look, our senses are just off, wrong. Not so with quantum physics. Quantum physics does not produce those errors. Quantum physics is rock solid, sharp, incredible, experiential science. So what I do is I choose the side of the rock solid theory, the rock solid science, the rock solid empirical experiential pursuit, which is quantum physics, and say if one of those, if either quantum particles, quantum physics is right, or if one between quantum physics and our experience of our egotistical experience of the physical world, if only one of those is right, I choose quantum physics, hands down. And I've got lots of reasons too. Okay, so anyway, back to the point. We could go through many other examples, and we brought so many up, well, today, and then on other shows, I just brought up like 10 in the last 2 minutes, show that what we are taught is not what reality is. So there's where numerology comes in. We are taught that the real science that describes reality is, for example, the calculus-based sciences. Calculus, you know, that subject that you take in high school or college or whatever, if you go into the sciences or economics or something. And then you get into those sciences a little bit, and you find that you use that math a little bit. If you go into engineering, you really don't use it at all. You wonder why you took those classes. And you find out it's only just a small fragment of what's how to describe reality. And then you find out if you get too far out of or too far in depth into certain sciences, you don't use the calculus-based mathematics at all. You use things like abstract algebra or lie theory or complex number mathematics or imaginary number mathematics, all kinds of different mathematics, binary Boolean algebra and binary mathematics and so forth. So it's kind of curious that, I mean, you get all these students, any student going into science or engineering in a university in America just automatically takes calculus. And it's in so often they don't use it. It's just kind of curious that that's the case because it sort of programs them to think that it's this calculus, which is the base mathematics that describes everything, and it is not at all. It hardly describes anything. What it's designed to do is just kind of describe motions and some of the basic mechanics of how things move and impact each other. Some of the big macroscopic solids, like, you know, how what happens when two bricks rest on each other, what happens when a cannonball is shot from a cannon. How to describe where the cannonball will land and so forth. So it can't do very much. But nevertheless, we're all kind of taught that this is the real mathematics. I mean, how many of you have heard somebody say, oh, you're taking calculus? Wow, that's really, really hard. That's really good that you can take it. And, oh, I got an A in calculus. Wow, aren't I smart? You know, so we're kind of programmed to think that this is the big deal, the big game in town. And it's not. And the reason I know it's not is because I've taken the first three calculus classes when I was an astrophysics student when I started school at Michigan State University in the early 90s, and I found that these programs of mathematics don't describe really anything. And then later in life, I found other systems of mathematics that did really describe things, and I wondered, why aren't those covered and discussed by the mass media? Why don't people know about this? And this is huge. I mean, if we're so bent on searching for answers in our universities and stuff, why aren't we exploring these systems of mathematics and whatnot? And the answer is, I've already given the answer, because the real reality is hidden from us, and the fake reality is advertised to us as being real. So that's where numerology comes in. Numerology is a system of, it's almost like a system of geometry. And sacred, you could even call it sacred geometry. It describes reality. And I found it's a mathematics like nothing that anybody's used to. People are used to thinking that mathematics are like Tinker Toys. You push numbers together, you know, and you build equations, and you build solutions to equations, and manipulate things, sort of like playing with Tinker Toys. You move things around and put them together to get new things. That is not what other systems of mathematics are, such as numerology. Numerology is a whole plane and order of magnitude above that. It's a whole spiritual level above that. It's a whole level of intelligence above that. It's a whole domain of power and understanding beyond that. The tinkertoy reality is sort of, I think Walter Crutchen may agree, because, you know, sort of the Greek Adam, well, I'm not going to get into that. That's too much of a tangent. Let's just keep going where we're going here. So numerology is, you know, a system of mathematics that I am discovering to be, I'm pretty much speechless at how it describes reality so well. And it just does it by the power of numbers themselves, which I'll have to explain more what that means later today or on upcoming shows. So now I just want to say that nobody listening to this show can make any judgment or conclusion on whether or not numerology is correct or incorrect unless you've gone and carried out an in-depth investigation for yourself. If you make any decision before that, then you're committing a logical error, a logical fallacy. You're concluding something is true or false, concluding something about something before you know anything about it. Okay? That's like saying, we know there's no extraterrestrials in the universe because we don't have any evidence for them. Well, that's obviously ridiculous because we haven't been anywhere where we've sent a probe here and there. Well, of course, there's probably, I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, known status quo information. Of course, there's probably hidden layers in the secret government that know a whole lot more than that. But, you know, if you have just some average scientist or philosopher at a university saying, nope, there's no extraterrestrials anywhere because we don't have any evidence for them. Well, that's a little bit silly because we have never been to Alpha Centauri, you know, star system 4 or so light years away. We've never been to the Sirius star system, as far as anybody knows, in the status quo information. So you can't make that claim. You can't, if the average person can't say the dark side of the moon doesn't have a civilization on it, or it doesn't have a certain number of craters on it or anything, because they haven't seen us. They can't make any claim about it. But people, as we've kind of hinted at already, people in our culture are just very good at making all sorts of conclusions about everything under the sun before they do any kind of investigation. So it's best to resist that as people. We need to not do that. And if people do it, just you can point it out to them or just ignore them, because we need to become a little bit informed on things if we're going to make a judgment, okay, in many cases. So that's numerology. I mean, all of you need to go get a book. I mean, for example, if you take Harish Johari's book, Numerology, that I referred to, what it'll do is it'll have basically 9 scenarios. There's what's called a destiny number. You add up the numbers of your birthday in a certain way, and they add up to either number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, and whichever one you are is your destiny number, and then you go read about that, and you find out that it describes you perfectly. And then somebody might say, oh, well, you know, big deal, because if I read the other ones, those all describe me too. Not true. That's true if you read the paper. If you read this joke, phony, fake, garbage astrology in the paper, which is just meant to distract you and get you to think that it's all just a joke. And no, there's nothing. Numerology and astrology, those are things I don't need to look into, because they're just all a joke. That's what that's meant to do. It's meant to keep you thinking that the real science is false and the false science is real. Okay? But no, if you go read Harish Johari's book, you'll find, if you read all the personality traits, all 9, you'll find only one fits you perfectly. It's the one that your destiny number adds up to, and all the other ones do not. Okay, so this is the most profound, shocking piece of information ever discussed on the NutraMedical, or the, think about next week's guest, Dr. Deagle, on the Antimatter Radio Show. Okay. Now, there's another show on here on the BBS network, which is devoted just towards numerology, and I've listened to it. It's pretty good, so you might all want to check that out. I'm kind of going at it from a little different slant here. I'm discussing, like, the philosophy of what it all means that it's real. What is it, and what does it mean that it's real? The numerology show here on BBS kind of just practices numerology. You know, so if here are your numbers, what does it mean for you? So that's good, too, of course. So if all of you were to check out Harish Johari's book, you can probably get it on Amazon just for a couple bucks. It's used. I know the antimatterradio.com store has the book available for sale right there in our store. That will pretty much, if you read that book, it'll pretty much pin you in a corner, because you'll see your destiny never describes you, and none of the other ones do. So then you're left with this dilemma. And what are we supposed to do with this information? Here's the dilemma. My birth date numbers, for some reason, describe my persona and the events of my life. Only that number does, the other eight do not. The other eight possible numbers do not. And if your best friend reads the book, he or she'll have a destiny number, and it will describe her, and the other eight won't describe her. So why is this the case, and what on earth do we do with this information? This just completely shatters the status quo picture of what reality is. I mean, what is going on here in reality that it's made this way, that it's composed in this way? What makes, I mean, how is this possible? What does this mean? There's something absolutely huge to discover here. And there's something absolutely huge covered up here. And it shows us that the picture of reality we're given in our schools and churches and on TV is just a complete, the biggest red herring in the history of the cosmos. And again, I just want to re-stress, none of you will know that this is true unless you go figure this out for yourself and go study, for example, these destiny numbers or other numbers. And I don't expect any of you to believe that it's true until you do. I didn't. I just happened to pick up a book years ago on numerology. I just read it because it was fun. I got it cheap at a used bookstore, just a couple cents. So I just picked it up and read it. And that's how I figured it out, because I never would have suspected this is true. You have to see that this is true in order to believe it. You have to see in a book someone describing what would appear to be impossible. You have to see them describe it in order to believe it, because until you do, you won't believe it. Don't try to get yourself to believe it. You have to see it, that it's real. Because for the simple reason that we've all been taught reality is so completely different from what the science of numerology teaches us. Okay? So if there's just something amazing to discuss here, something amazing to study. So one thing is that a lot of you know that the New World Order is heavily into numerology. And so I think what happens is I've had people accuse me, and same with telementation. They're also into telementation. And so I've had people say, oh, you're dabbling. Since the New World Order is evil and satanic, which they are, as I've discussed in my book, Corporatism, and has been copiously documented by other researchers. But if you've never researched that, you won't know, and you'll tend to believe it's false. But anyways, the New World Order is evil and satanic. Here's what people propose to me. The New World Order is evil and satanic. The New World Order practices telementation and is obsessed with numerology. So therefore, telementation and numerology are evil and satanic. Okay, that is what you can call a false argument. Why? What if I just, the reason I know is because if I just substitute the words numerology and telementation for another word, we can see how ridiculous the argument is. So let me do that. Let me replace the words numerology and telementation with food and water. Okay, so let's rerun the argument with those words used instead. The New World Order is evil and satanic. The New World Order is obsessed with food and water. Therefore, food and water are evil and satanic. See how that works? I mean, just because they study it doesn't mean it has some qualities. It just means that they're interested. And the reason they're interested in it is because they know it's real. Then they're wanting to keep you from thinking it's real because it's where the ultimate power is. The ultimate systems of knowledge are there. So they don't want you to know. They want you to think that some other garbage is true, like, you know, the philosophy of cause and effect or something. Or, you know, the idea that your consciousness is just a piece of your physical brain. They want you to believe all this junk that they'll teach you in academia, and then they'll be off practicing numerology and telementation, and that's why they've got all the power, and we're a bunch of savages and slaves around here on planet Earth who can't even get up and muster enough of a fight to keep the government from hijacking and taking over the auto industry, which, by the way, is exactly the same thing that the Nazis did. I hope you know. So that shows you exactly what's going on here. Nice smiley face politicians of history always somehow just seem to be secretly plotting to kill us. Yeah, I think that's what's going on now too. So anybody who says that studying numerology or telemetation or practicing them is a product of evil. You just don't know what you're talking about. Okay? You just have been conditioned to think that the only reality is something out of one of these fake churches, which basically tells you that, oh, Christianity is just a set of beliefs, and we just have to believe and be saved, and then there's nothing left to do except be nice to people and smile a lot. Okay, that's probably where you got your philosophy from. And just, you know what? Get out of the way. Okay, go sit in the, go watch TV or something. There's nothing for you on this show, so turn it off. Okay, and we'll move on here. Okay, there's obviously, different ways you can use, telemetation and numerology are just tools, and there's different ways you can use them. It's like a gun. If I have a gun, I can use it for defense to make myself safe. I can use it to fight bad people, or I can use it to do evil or something. Okay, so the gun stays the same. It's my motives which steer the direction of what the gun does. Telemetation and numerology are the same way. Okay, so it's kind of funny that what the New World Order wants to do is they want to tell us to ban guns because people have gotten hurt by them. That's like saying, why don't they ban beer? You know, if beer's hurt people, it kills people in drunk driving. When they never talk about banning alcohol and it's killed a zillion people. What they say is that we need to ban guns because they've hurt people. But no, not beer. Beer is just fine. We'll, you know, never do. How about banning cheeseburgers? They make everybody, they always talk about, oh, the fat people are ruining the healthcare system. But we never would think about banning junk food. See what an utter joke this is? The whole system of thought in America is pretty pathetic. I mean, and it's just amazing it works. It just shows that the egotistical state of cultural consciousness, that shell that we all exist within in America, it just makes us so dumb and ignorant that it's almost funny. I mean, I can just point out contradictions like this all day. You know, why don't we ban cigarettes if they're so harmful? No, can't do that. Can't do that. We have to here's the answer. Let's tax them. That's great. Let's get someone super addicted to something. So addicted it's like being addicted to heroin so they can't quit. And then we'll raise the price on them. And the person who raises the price on them is the persons who are the government. So they get the money. So let's get somebody addicted so they can't quit. And then let's make them pay more for their fix. And we won't make it illegal. We'll just, create more of it. And of course, a lot of you are saying, well, the government is different from the cigarette makers. False. Any of you who think government and the corporate giants of America are separate, all you need to do is just go to like the site of the FDA or the EPA or the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, or any of these departments, and go see who the people are on them that run them, the board, the chairpersons of the board. And you'll see it's all the big corporation people. Or if it's not, you know, like trace someone's past history, they'll say, you know, somebody from the USDA, they'll, you know, the former position is, you know, CEO of Monsanto or something, the big food giant. You know, so I mean, it's just complete, there is no difference between government and the corporate giants in America. And, I mean, that's a whole big story in itself right there. So, the last topic I'm going to discuss here on this first part of this numerology show is the following. You kind of have to wonder. I mean, when you study numerology, when you're studying, you start to think, how did anybody figure this out? Because it doesn't seem like something people would just figure out. Because it's so different from anything like anybody's thinking about in our current world. I mean, how would anybody, you just have to study it to know what I mean. And there's a lot of things like this. There's a lot of things that people have known and are doing and have done. Like build the pyramids, for example, that we talked about with Cruttendon. You just wonder, how do they do it? It doesn't seem possible that they would have figured this out or something. So, you know, and there's a lot of weird mysteries like that. And, you know, there's a lot of strange things like, you know, the hemp plant, which, of course, our government has made illegal, which is very curious. It ties right into this whole discussion today. I mean, the hemp plant, if you study the hemp plant, it's a really special entity. Hemp, of course, is pot. And a lot of you are probably programmed to think, oh, criminal. Okay, I don't smoke pot. I'm not interested in it. But I eat hemp seeds because it's, from to my knowledge, it's about the most nutritious entity in nature. So nutritious, it's almost weird that it exists. It's like, where did this stuff come from? It's got all these properties. It doesn't make any sense that it's there. I mean, evolution sure can't explain it, that's for sure. So anyway, with numerology, you kind of just, if you study it, and we'll discuss this more, you kind of wonder how anybody figured it out. And it seems really odd that it ever was discovered, you know, and how it all works. And that leads me to three theories. Notice I said theory very carefully, because I don't know which of these is true. I'm just trying to, so we're in a non-experiential domain here when I say theories. So it makes you come up, it made me come up with three theories of how humans got this information of numerology, this unbelievable information which is so highly hidden by the corporate elites. So I've come up, so here's three ideas I have. Numerology was given to humans as a gift from God. That's one possibility. If that's, you know, who created us and so forth, which is seeming more to me like these days, that's what happened. Second option is, numerology was given to us by some ultra-advanced civilization of some sort that is non-human. Maybe those were our creators. Genesis 6 seems to hint at something like that, maybe. Genesis 1 hints at the first point. It could be a gift from God. Genesis 6 seems to hint at that second point. And then there's a third idea. Maybe it was a gift from ultra-advanced civilizations that were human in the past. That sort of fits right into Walter Cruttendon's philosophy. Actually, his is more of a science, I would say. His science of how humans were ultra-advanced in the past. And listen to the show from 3 weeks ago, the special show with Cruttendon we had that discusses that. It seems to be that, okay, so those are the three theories. Notice that all the three theories involve the idea that an advanced intelligence gave us numerology. So that involves the theory that humans couldn't have come up with it on their own now. And I stand by that theory. It just doesn't seem like I don't care how much time humans have had on their hands over the last thousands and thousands of years. I don't care how many humans there were with a lot of time on their hands. It's hard to believe that this could have been figured out. So that leads you to the thesis that some ultra-advanced spiritual beings or ultra-advanced civilizations gave us this technology. So it's very profound. There's many issues with numerology. It's not just, I mean, numerology is about as profound as you can get. I just want to emphasize to all of you that, you know, clear your mind. Get all your preconceptions out of your mind. You've been told, you know, astrology and numerology are a joke. Yeah, but you've had the same newspapers tell you that, and the same television shows tell you that, and the same ministers in your churches tell you that, who also told you to go fight against this stupid fake enemy in Iraq, okay? You know, so, come on, let's start putting it together. Let's wake up, you know, slap yourself in the face and, you know, move out of your parents' basement, as they say. Get out of your diapers, for any of you who are, you know, not figuring all this out. Okay, so that is our first introduction. We'll have other introductory shows on numerology before we really get into it. And this is not going to be contiguous, you know, show to show to show, we'll discuss numerology. It's going to be here and there. I'll just announce, hey, next week we've got numerology show part 2, numerology show part 3 in a month, numerology part 4 in 4 weeks or something like that. So it's when I'm ready to go to part 2 is when we'll go to part 2. That's probably going to be 2 weeks from now, but I'm not sure. So this is the... I just want to cover this slowly, carefully. I just really don't know of any more important topic than numerology, which is basically the same as telementation. So that's why I just want to give it the proper treatment. There's something this big, this important, there's no hurry. Okay? There is nothing else. This is it. This is the big one. This is what we need. This is our future. This is our power. This is our destiny. This is our key to happiness. This is our key to safety. Everything is in this. Numerology and telementation. So this is big. Tell your friends to listen to this show. There's nothing financial I get from you listening to the show. I'm passionate about this. I make my money off other things, selling books. I've got a part-time business, you know, so I'm not worried about money. This is just, I just like doing this. There's no motives I have other than that. So you know, tell people to tune into the show. It's free. This show will be up in the archives in a couple days. And I just consider, I mean, I just hope you can see that I consider this is the big stuff. This is what's important. This is where we need to all focus in on. This is no joke. This is serious times. This is serious information. Okay, so that's why I just wanted to cover this introductory show carefully. I think we have done that successfully. Just wanted to really lay the groundwork carefully, because it's a very delicate subject that people can get turned off too easy. So we will continue with part two of this discussion on numerology and consciousness soon, probably in 2 weeks. Next week, Dr. Bill Deagle. Try to tune in if you can. Hit the show in the archives if you miss it. It's going to be a big one. I guarantee you will be blown away. I know Dr. Deagle well. He and I are really good together in the radio, and it's going to be ultra powerful. Massive show. Going to really just blow the lid, as we usually do on this show. Okay? So I hope all of you have an incredible week. I hope all of you can get my book, Telementation. I hope you all can learn to practice that spiritual practice, learn these ultimate powers. When you get to that level, you'll wonder what took you so long. You'll feel so satisfied and happy. Okay, so everybody take care. Have a good week. Talk to you next week.